Well, life does seem to be one battle after another, doesn't it? It's not issues at work, it's health issues, family contention, death. Some people will tell you their troubles without any encouragement. First time you meet them, they just dump, you know, and you don't know quite what to say or how to respond. And other people deal with it quietly and withhold it and don't share the struggles that they might be going through. The reality is everyone that you meet is dealing with burdens and issues of one kind or another. Sometimes you go into a store and the clerk treats you like you shouldn't be there. You're bothering them. And they don't smile. And they're unhappy. I always wonder what's going on in their lives that they should be so unhappy, so disagreeable. The truth is, sometimes as Christians, this can be true of us as well. It ought not to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. No matter what is going on in our lives, we are confident that God reigns, aren't we? Jehovah God, the sovereign creator of the universe, our redeeming covenant God, is my shepherd. And he makes certain that I lack nothing. Nothing that I need will he withhold. He makes me lie down in grass that is lush and green. He leads me beside waters that are cool and refreshing. Physically, my good shepherd provides for all of my needs and cares for me. But spiritually, he does as well. All that we need, he provides. In fact, the writer of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 1, says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have all that we need. We have all that we truly want in Christ Jesus, our shepherd. But sometimes as life overwhelms us and wears us down, we get our eyes off of Christ. We get our eyes off of the blessings that are abundant, that are ours in Christ. And we become discouraged and defeated by sin and the battles of life. And so my shepherd restoreth my soul. My shepherd calms all my fears and my anxieties, and he brings peace to my heart. And I'm content and at peace with him. He restores my soul. Four simple English words. Actually, in Hebrew, it's only two words. The word restores means to turn. Or to return. So the Good Shepherd restores my soul by causing us to turn back to him. The Good Shepherd turns my soul around. David knew sheep. He understood how helpless they could be. One of the interesting tendencies of sheep is to become cast down. They can find a little depression on the ground and they can lie down and get comfortable in it. And perhaps you have a pet dog that does this as well. Turn over on its back, relax. But then sometimes sheep get stuck on their back. And they can panic and kick and do nothing to right themselves. And if left to themselves, will die. Shepherds watch for this and will turn them, will restore them, so they do not die. Get them back on their feet, back to following the shepherd. As Christians, how often are we like that? There might be friction or pressure at work, friction and more problems perhaps at home, money pressures as spending outpaces income, maybe health issues, maybe pain that's unrelenting and won't find relief. And we deal with all of these things as best we can. There always seem to be more than we can handle. And like sheep, we can become panicky and fearful. And so we work and we scheme to improve things only to find that we're stuck. We can even think God has forsaken us. We can wallow in self-pity and think that God has forgotten me and is not hearing my prayers. And John Bunyan's words were in the Slough of Despond. David the shepherd must have had this issue himself in his own heart as he faced the difficulties of life. Oh my, David, he had a father-in-law of all father-in-laws. David is playing his harp to soothe King Saul. And King Saul ups and throws a spear and tries to pin him to the wall. He chased David all over the countryside trying to kill him. As king, David had enemies all around him. And every spring, they would attack, wanting to drive David and Israel into the Mediterranean. Then we come to his personal family life, his moral failures, his sin, his bloody hands, God's discipline, his dysfunctional children. And like a sheep that is cast down, David complains. Psalm 22 says, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You've brought me to the dust of death. In Psalm 6, it says, I'm weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. It grows old because of all my enemies. My eye wastes away because of grief. Can you identify with such gloom? Such self-pity. We call it by various names: depression, discouragement, despair. That's where David found himself. But by God's grace, David came to realize that his shepherd watches and knows his trouble in his heart, and he restores, David said, my soul. He turns me back to the Lord. As life and all of its difficulties and issues come upon us, sometimes one upon another, it's so easy to get our eyes off of the shepherd, to not really listen to his word, to not really submit to his will and to his spirit. And he turns me back in his grace to himself. As life and all the difficulties come upon us, we profess to believe that God is sovereign, that he's loving, that he's wise. But sometimes we do not take that into our hearts, do we? And so we wake up in the middle of the night filled with panic and fear. And we give in to despair and become negative And our gracious shepherd comes and works to restore us and turn us upright and bring us back to himself. Our good shepherd does not just give us an energy boost. Sometimes we need that. But more importantly, the good shepherd sets us back on a right relationship with himself. He turns our eyes away from ourselves and our own circumstances and difficulties and hardships. He turns our eyes away from the world and the things that alarm us to himself. A restored soul is one that is in fellowship with the Lord, a sheep at the feet of the shepherd, if you will, instead of alone and in trouble. The good shepherd sees to our spiritual well-being. Now, part of the way that the good shepherd does this is through the ordinary means of grace. The gathering of God's people in worship, the church. The church and its officers are not incidental, but primary to the work of God. It is to the church and her officers that Jesus said he gives the keys to the kingdom. But from time to time, probably more often than we think, we get our eyes off of Christ. And God works through the ordinary means of grace, the sacraments, the scripture, the reading of scripture, sermons, prayer. All of these means are given to us that we might grow in grace and keep our eyes on the shepherd, to be encouraged in our shepherd's love for us and care for us and working in us. Elijah was one of the great prophets of Israel. He brought drought upon rebellious Israel. He raised the dead. He multiplied food. You recall the story on one occasion when he confronted 400 false prophets of the pagan god Baal. That was on Mount Carmel in Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel. And at his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed his sacrifice, confirmed his theology, if you will, that the God Jehovah is the true and the living God, and the pagan god Baal is a false god. And then he promptly beheaded 400 false prophets. But this great prophet got his eyes off the shepherd. We read in 1 Kings chapter 19 of his victory. In fact, Ahab told Jezebel, his wife, wicked queen Jezebel, all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. How did she respond? Well, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, the prophet, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Within 24 hours, you're going to be dead, just like those prophets that you killed. The great prophet Elijah responded how? Just as sinfully as we often do. When he saw that, Elijah arose and ran for his life. He went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, that is the southern kingdom, and left his servant there. And filled with panic and fear and lack of faith, he ran for the whole day into the wilderness. And then he sat down under a tree and he moped. God, the great prophet Elijah, with all those great victories, said, "Just let me die." Listen to Elijah's pity party as the battles of life got to him. Perhaps you thought like this. He said, and this is really, he's talking to God. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. 1 Kings 19:14. But in that quiet place, the Good Shepherd graciously, lovingly restored his soul, turned him back, refreshed him, and encouraged his heart. And God told him, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. That's our Good Shepherd. It's good to note that the shepherd not only restored his soul, but he sent him back to work, back into the battle. I mention Elijah so that you understand struggles that you might have, discouragement and despairs that you might have, are not unusual, or because you're so terrible in your faith. It's not unusual to have times of doubt. It's not unusual to struggle with despair and in need of the shepherd restoring your soul, of returning you to himself. When King Saul was seeking to kill David, David also despaired of his life. He says, I shall one day perish at the hand of Saul. And it's interesting that the Lord sent him aid and encouragement in a very unusual way in the form of King Saul's son, Jonathan. And we're told in 1 Samuel 23, then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. The Good Shepherd restored David's soul in a time of despair and discouragement through his friend Jonathan. In our struggles of life, we need to remember the words of Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our shepherd is one who cares for his sheep, and he's restoring and he's renewing us who are his. Another example is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. He was a prophet. He was also in the flesh a cousin to Jesus. He baptized Christ. He was there when God spoke from heaven in an audible voice, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he saw the Spirit of God come down and rest upon Christ in a visible manner. John the Baptist preached repentance to thousands of Israelites who came out into the wilderness just to hear him preach. He had an amazing Spirit-empowered ministry. But John the Baptist, too, was a fallen, sinful prophet. And he doubted and he questioned events in his life as well, even doubting if he had it right about who Jesus was as he sat imprisoned for his ministry and soon to be beheaded. So he sent some of his disciples to Jesus and he asked this question, Matthew 11. When John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Or do we wait for another?" How did Jesus respond to John's lack of faith, to his discouragement and despair in prison? Does Jesus rebuke him? "Oh, ye of little faith." Does he come down on him as he did the Pharisees? Did Jesus ridicule him or cast scorn upon him because he was struggling in faith? No. Here is a word of encouragement. If you're struggling with faith and with doubt, Jesus time and again dealt graciously with those who were doubting and discouraged, not harshly, not severely. Oh, he would be pretty severe with those who had a spiritual pride, didn't he, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But we find no words of censure to those who were weak and struggling, dealing with despair and unbelief. Rather, we find Jesus with tenderness and kindness, being the good shepherd. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So Jesus responds to John with a word of hope and blessing. He says, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." You see, that is how the good shepherd treats all of his sheep. Even the wayward, even the discouraged, even those that are on their back about to die. "For he knows our frame," the psalmist says. God remembers that we are dust. Jesus, the good shepherd, does not kick his sheep when they're cast down. He knows his sheep and he cares for them. On one occasion, Jesus described himself by quoting Isaiah. This is Matthew 12. He says, "A bruised reed, he," that is the Messiah, Christ, "will not break. A smoking flax, he will not quench till he sends forth justice and victory." If you are a child of God this morning, if Jesus is your shepherd, you can be certain of his love for you, that he desires only what is best for you. He doesn't mock you when you are down and struggling, but lovingly works to restore you, to lift you up, to turn you back to himself, that you might continue to follow your shepherd, just as he did with John the Baptist and the prophet Elijah. William Evans wrote something helpful along these lines, and I quote, "Do we not remember when we first came to Christ as our Savior, how he forgave freely and gladly all our sins and sent us on our way rejoicing? Do we not recall how shortly after, when we had sinned and spotted the clean white sheet of paper he had given to us, that when we brought it back to him, all spotted with sin, he freely pardoned, gave us another clean sheet, and without upbraiding, sent us away saying, 'Thy sins are forgiven, sin no more.'" If you are in Christ, he is your shepherd. You must learn to keep your eyes on him, to follow him, to obey him, to seek him, and also to trust him. Trust Him to provide those green pastures and cool waters that you do need. Trust Him to always lead you in the right path. Trust Him to care for you perfectly, physically, as well as spiritually. Listen to God's promise in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, that is, God the Father sent God the Son to the cross of Calvary to suffer and to die in the place of the believer. Paul continues, how shall He not with Him, Christ, also freely give us all things? Everything that we need. Not the gold in Fort Knox, that's not what he's talking about. But the spiritual and the physical things that we as His sheep need. He will provide those because He's provided the greater, our eternal salvation at great cost. The Good Shepherd said something we need to always keep in mind. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Remember that it's often through hard and difficult things that the Lord teaches you to trust Him. Teaches you His grace, His goodness, His faithfulness. Reminds you of your need for the shepherd's care. Shows you how you need to be close to your shepherd. As you journey through life, sometimes you need to be reminded of the dryness and the barrenness of the world and of how sweet our Lord is. So often the world seems attractive. Sin can be so alluring. But in the end, the offerings of the world are empty. They're unfulfilling and spiritually deadly. It is the Good Shepherd and the Good Shepherd alone who provides the green pastures and the still waters that we truly need for our souls. In times when you are close to despair, when you're discouraged, when you feel alone, down, the Good Shepherd is faithfully working to turn you back to Him. And the Shepherd who loves you with a perfect love, and the Scripture teaches us an eternal love, will never leave you, never forsake you. One of the interesting things, passages of Scripture to me, is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Why does the Lord allow us to suffer? Why does He allow us to go through this slew of despond sometimes? Scripture talks about the heavens are as brass. You know, we try to pray and it's like God doesn't hear us, He doesn't respond. Why does the Lord allow us to go through some of these difficult, hard things spiritually or physically? The writer, the Apostle Paul, says to the church at Corinth, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, all of our afflictions, all of our difficulties, that we may be able to comfort those others who are in any trouble with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. As we find God ministering to us, God enables us to minister to others and encourage others. Our God is good, and our shepherd is good. He works in us, even through these difficult, hard things of life, for good. And He is working to restore us spiritually, to keep our eyes on Him, that we might follow Him. May the Lord grant you the faith as His children to keep your eyes upon the Shepherd, to gladly, joyfully follow Him wherever He leads you. And in the dark times of life, which do come, will come, may the Good Shepherd restore your soul.